The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Zoomed Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. This program will take you behind the scenes and deepen your understanding about the patterns and perspectives of leadership today. Now, here's your host, John Schmidt.
Well, hello again. Welcome, everyone, to this week's edition of Zoomed Leadership. I am your host, John Schmidt. And again today, as I love to do every week, I'll be taking you out to the big picture, into the up close and personal, toward a world of desirable futures, those rich, as we often like to say, with the essence of constant renewal. Well, it is great to be back, but I must say, on this Monday, it is virtually impossible not to begin without acknowledgement of the devastation in Japan. So many lives lost, so many hanging in the thread of life, and still ongoing with the catastrophe itself, and ongoing threats to three nuclear reactors. I don't know what the case is this morning. I've just come out of a meeting myself, but it does seem that they are being reasonably dealt with. We can certainly all only hope for that. But I must say, all of us have seen them. The images of the tsunami, the main destructive wave, were amazing evidence, as we all looked at them, not only of the destruction, but of the dynamism and the power inherent into the underlying nature of our planet and the life that we all can be living and what is life about overall. You know, it's just startling to see cars bobbing like corks. It's startling to see houses and buildings being swept along 6 miles inland. Pretty startling to see the infrastructure that we saw, some of the airports, the bridges, the roads being swept apart, impacted or destroyed. All of this, as we're watching the tragic loss of life, it's just a stunning scene overall. And those combined from Japan as well with, over the weekend, some of the ongoing scenes of unrest and violence in the Middle East, including Gaddafi's forces reportedly retaking rebel-held towns. All of this together seems to me to reflect what we have been talking about here on Zoom, the soup pot mix of dynamic movement, the breakthroughs, the breakdowns, the surprises, as we're seeing in the events of last week, all part of this era of extraordinary change we are living and we are living into and we have been talking about for almost 2 years now. But today, though, we're not going to talk so much about the specific events in Japan and the Middle East. Many, many others, every network is doing that. Rather, today I'd like to talk about and I'd like to devote our show to what I believe is a very quiet yet powerful dynamic in motion across the planet, perhaps even what we might even think of as a surreptitious tsunami of sorts, not to belittle the actual tsunami, but actually in this case to consider that it might be a clear and arising power in form that's emerging around the world, in our case today, with respect to leadership and what's going on in groups around the world. It might not be viewed yet as or globally described as a pervading expansion in the nature of leadership, but I think it will be. But today, we want to name it. We want to point it out directly. And even where there may be some considerations and some believe what's going on within them, their groups and their leadership is unique, I think we might want to suggest today that it is all an arising continuity. And today I want to point to this arising continuity, to actually an arising vibrancy among groups and leadership. I want to reflect on the harmonic at play, to use the musical reference, and to what by the end of the day we might even more clearly refer to by putting those together as a harmonic vibrancy. We've used that language before. That is our show title today. And I want to build on last week's show in particular where I mention research, the work of the Institute for Strategic Clarity and the Global Transforming Ensemble, of which I've been a part, and I want to bring it to light in an even more, what I think you'll find, fascinating way. Bring it to light with some tangible data and really point clearly to what is really going on. Because worldwide, there are tens of thousands of groups in business, government, and civil society, all in the process of experimenting with and reinventing their fundamental agreements and discovering that they can generate higher levels of harmonic coexistence. That is in the words of our guest today. They are demonstrating new ways of relating in work and in life, which are more sustainable and lead to greater efficiency, greater effectiveness, greater innovation than we have accepted as our norm in the past. Individuals and groups are stepping up and more fully and consciously into the deeper potentialities. That's part of what we've been talking about, Zoomed, and that's what our guest today is here to really explore more fully with us and to help us bring to life. Today we have Jim Ritchie Dunham. He is president of the Institute for Strategic Clarity. He is a former managing partner of actually several strategy consultancies over time. He is a professor of business and adjunct faculty at Harvard and Monterey TEC, to name two. He is one who I believe, and you will find today, is a formidable thinker about foundations for large-scale social change. Jim, just by way of background and to complete the picture, has a doctorate in decision and system sciences from the University of Texas, MBA from ESAD in Barcelona, BS in petroleum engineering from University of Tulsa. I think you're going to find in the conversation both tangible and intangible and a great connector of that. And Jim, in my mind, has done a brilliant job over the last 10 years in bridging the world of academia and practice. And most recently, among other many, many significant contributions, has been defining a new model of economics, what might be called eco-sonomics, all of which we're thrilled to have Jim with us today. Jim, great to have you on Zoomed.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure.
Well, Jim, maybe you can get us started. I've pointed to and said a little bit about the Institute for Strategic Clarity. Maybe just start with just a short reference to that. That'll give us started. Maybe I'll connect the dots a little bit more about the ensemble, but let's ground our listeners in kind of the work overall.
Well, thank you very much, John. The work of the Institute for Strategic Clarity over the last decade has really been searching to find initially, what was it that was creating more clarity strategically for folks, which is where we got the name, with the idea if people really start to understand their environments much better and much greater clarity of who we are and what we want and who others are and what they want, that we'll be able to find those together. And anyway, so our work has in research and action, research out in the field has worked around that in a multitude of countries over the last few years.
And then we've connected the dots. I mentioned we've had a show in the past on the Global Transforming Ensemble, on the nature of present-centered leadership. We've introduced that generally. But in essence, the Institute and the Global Transforming Ensemble and our connection between the two has been pointing to some of the research that you're going to bring out today. And we've had a number of people that have been trying to provide perspectives on different pieces of the puzzle. But, Jim, I think today is a great day for you to sort of put it all together for us in some respects, as I was pointing to about some of the harmonics of this whole thing.
Excellent.
Maybe a personal start, Jim, would be useful, because I know that was just a really rich conversation. I can remember back to San Francisco over a dinner conversation one night as you were really talking about some of the genesis for the harmonics and the vibrancy and the way groups and leaders are engaging in the world. Maybe you can start us off with that. I think it's a personal story that really is a helpful one for us all.
Thanks, Jen. Basically, what I discovered in the opportunities that were given to me to live in a variety of countries in Europe and work in Europe and Latin America and the U.S., that in different industries, to discover something that I think won't be surprising to your listeners, that there are a lot of different models and ways of understanding the world out there. So over my lifetime, I've become aware that there are a lot of different ways of looking at the world. But over the last 10 years, by bringing in some of the integral thinking from Ken Wilber and community, the cultural creatives, and starting to look at the percentages there of people who are supposedly in different levels of consciousness and the study of that, really brought an awareness to me of this evolution of consciousness and the different models. And then over the last 5 years, I'm starting to experiment with the understanding that what seem to be rules or laws, or this is just the way things are in our society and our organizations, are really just agreements. And this was sort of a fundamental shift in my understanding a few years ago. And to realize that people are around the world with these very different models and in this evolving consciousness are experimenting with different kinds of agreements. And that sort of evolved through our work at the Institute, work we were doing in Guatemala and a lot of different industries, and bringing multi-stakeholder groups together, work with these global action networks that are emerging all over the world, complementary currencies, and becoming aware that there are over 4,800 different complementary currencies existing on the planet. And then my own work with some organizations like Thorlo, the sock company in Statesville, North Carolina, or Gateway Health Care Community Center in Laredo, Texas, or a toy store in Russia, Moscow. What I started to discover was that people were experimenting with the agreements and their evolution of consciousness from these very different models. And so what we started looking for a couple years ago, and that's sort of how this evolution has really happened for me, is to realize that there are new agreements and that folks are doing what things that we thought in the business school were absolutely impossible to achieve. But they're doing it. And so then the exploration became, how are they looking at agreements and what's possible and how are they doing that and how much of that's showing up all over the world? And as we started to look, we started to discover, as you said, that we believe that there are tens, if not hundreds of thousands of groups worldwide that are really exploring completely different kinds of agreements than the ones that we have tended to accept, at least here in the West, in the last few decades.
And so, Jim, we only have a minute or two, I know, left in the first segment here, not long, but what types of agreements are you talking about? Well, I mean, in the agreements in relation to what? To whom and according? And, you know, just give us a sense. When you use the term agreement, what do you really mean?
Right. So the brief analogy is when we play tennis, people think, well, there's the way that you're supposed to play tennis. But, of course, it usually ends up in somebody getting upset and throwing their racket. But the question becomes, why don't we use other rules or other, you know, make the game a different one that's fun? And so the agreements that we're looking at are ones that influence how we look at money, how we look at how we organize ourselves in groups, how we look at even the basic resources that support us. So it's that we come into an organization and we think that this is the way it operates or the way the industry works or this is how you have to incorporate your company. And it turns out that those are just agreements and that those actually shift all the time. And it's very possible to enter a very different set of agreements around how we want to look at how we collaborate, how we want to look at what we think value is and how we exchange value with others in our supply chain, our consumers, internally within our own organization.
So what I'm hearing out of your work, though, Jim, and what I've been thought so compelling over time is the way in which you've looked at the nature of agreements and what has been sort of assumed and the way that the different people and in groups and in leaders around the world are beginning to recast, to reconsider and engage new agreements. And that's where I'd like to go more in the next segment if we could. I hear the music in my ears, but let's continue on this. And I'd also like to bring in, folks, the musical analogy because I think it's a good one that Jim has about what actually started to bring some of these pieces together and the nature of the agreements. And where does that harmonic actually come from? Take a break, come back, continue today. Jim Ritchie, Dunham Institute for Strategic Clarity. Thanks. Come right back, folks.
When it comes to business,
you'll find the experts here.
Voice America Business Network. The Zoomed Leadership Conversation today, as well as shows both past and upcoming, are intended to illuminate perspectives on the great transition in motion, the extraordinary era of change that is affecting all of our personal lives, our organizations, our communities, and our governing institutions. Big shifts are happening, and more are coming. Some can be foreseen, but many are outside current paradigms of thought. All, however, ultimately will be shaped by new and expanding forms of leadership, capable of holding the widest possible views and the deepest forms of interconnection. Join Zoomed host John Schmidt weekly as he rides the rising wave of intelligence, moving us all toward a world of immense potential, dynamism, and economic, social, and environmental renewal. Zoomed is sponsored in part by Avastone Consulting, a source point for development of leadership and organizational resilience and sustainability for the last 25 years. Find John and his colleagues at Avastone via avastoneconsulting.com.
It's all Arizona, all over the world. If you're a local Arizona high school sports fan, or if you're a transplanted fan somewhere else in the world, have we got a show for you. The first internet sports radio talk show focusing solely on high school sports is The Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely. Tune in to talk about your favorite teams, players, or coaches. It's 100% Arizona high school sports coverage and a little bit more. Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, to the Voice America Sports Channel.
There's a course offered on Seventh Wave Network that you never saw offered in college. One that provides information on how to transform ancient wisdom teachings into everyday life. You'll learn how to create from your spirit and explore the world with all of your senses. Participation is encouraged. Enroll in Spirituality 101, the course you can't afford to miss, with your host, Reverend Norma. Classes in session every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time, in your favorite classroom, Seventh Wave Network.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Zoomed Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. For more information about John and our program, visit avastoneconsulting.com. That's A-V-A-S-T-O-N-E consulting.com. Now, back to Zoomed Leadership.
Okay, back today. We are guest-centered with Jim Ritchie Dunham. It's a pleasure to be pursuing that after being solo for a few weeks here. You're probably really ready for some more guests. But we are really talking about perhaps the surreptitious tsunami, the movement across the world, none, if not a tsunami, a rising tide of perspective about agreements, about working in groups and organizations, about harmonic vibrancy and what that is all about. And that's what Jim is with us here today. Jim, I pointed to before the break, maybe a way to get into this harmonic is through the musical analogy that I referred to in the beginning. Maybe that's a good place to start here.
Excellent. As we started looking around and trying to look at these new agreements that we just mentioned, and just started asking everybody in many different kinds of settings in a variety of countries about their own experience of being in groups and these agreements and what's possible, we started to listen to how people described their experience. And what we started to hear were terms that were related to or directly named harmonics. Now, there's more of a harmonic. It's more fitting together. It's how about we all come together, the synergies. And a lot about vibrancy, and it turns out that that's a very common term in a lot of different languages for the aliveness that people feel, the electricity that or light that people experience in groups. So it was a term that came out of people's description of their own experience from very low quality of life or well-beingness to very high. So that's where the term harmonic vibrancy came. And it linked very nicely with my experience with my own children, who are very musical, 16 and 13-year-olds. And what I discovered was when they were listening to music and singing and playing their own tunes, they were always inventing a new song with it or singing different notes. And I had grown up very classically, just sort of you learn the music. But I noticed that they never sang the same music. And what I discovered was is that they were actually listening to something else. They were listening more to what I call the harmonic, and it was through listening to the harmonic that they always brought in a different voice, not the memorized voice the way I had learned to sing music. So that was sort of what we started to discover that people have been doing. And I think that's sort of what we're discovering is emerging in groups, that people have their own innate striving for this harmonic vibrancy, this higher collective well-being, their own experience of the well-being. And those that are able to experience this higher level of harmonic vibrancy, they're really listening to the harmonic. They're listening to something else other than unlike those of us that are listening to this is what I'm supposed to do. These are sort of the laws. This is the way it is. I'm listening to the melody. And what we're discovering is that people that are listening, whether they're aware of it or not, to this harmonic vibrancy, are discovering new agreements or new ways of doing things. And so, what we find exciting about that is a lot of the innovations that are happening is when people are experiencing their own harmonic vibrancy and really just stepping into that, they're able to do a lot of quite innovative and exciting things that most of our listeners would just, you know, these are the things that we say are the fantasy land of organizational life or community life. And another interesting thing happens in is some of the groups, though, when they're not able to bring that in, that abundance, that harmonic, it's because they don't have an intuitive sense what to do, and that's when they start to bring in the scarcity. And so the question becomes, you know, what is a fuller way of understanding what's happening so that people can bring in on a more continuous and sustainable basis this harmonic vibrancy, which seems to be at the core of what people experience and know that they experience, and that's sort of what they're really looking for as they look at, you know, how do we agree to be together when we're in community doing something.
So what is actually going on then on these groups and communities at the leading edge of this experimentation, Jim?
Well, what we think is happening, and you know, we've described quite a few with some of our surveying mechanisms and then looking out into the world. But what we think they're doing is, or what we understand that they're doing, and the Ecosonomics sort of provides a framework for this, but is that they're actually doing something quite different than what we've been taught to do in economics. And basically what they're doing, by listening to this harmonic, a way of describing that, or by focusing on the harmonic vibrancy, they're able to do five things at the same time, which we've been taught you should do one at a time to achieve better harmonic vibrancy. So, and very simply, this is, we sort of have five different ways of thinking about how we as human beings relate to this harmonic vibrancy. And there's the relationship that we have to ourselves. There's a relationship that we have to another human being. You know, so how creative am I being in my own gesture of stepping in? How much can I see that in another human being and support them in stepping into that? What is the unique contribution that we have to the group? The third is, what is the group relationship that I have and that you have and our contributions and how well that works with the group's efforts? And then what is our relationship to nature? And from the very basic essence of, you know, relating to nature as resources that are provided to us, to more of the life force of nature, to probability, to how things manifest in this realm. And then how do we relate to spirit in from the essence of the group, from knowing what we're all about and the deeper intention and purpose of what we're doing, to the bigger possibility as we engage the spiritual world. So those are five ways that we have classically related to the harmonic vibrancy of our contribution within a collective or a group. And what we're discovering is that the groups that where the people describe their own experience as one of much higher harmonic vibrancy, what the groups are doing, seem to be doing, and the leadership seems to be doing, is paying attention to the harmonic vibrancy. And as they do that, they're able to find processes, structures, we'll call those agreements, that allow them to move higher on all five of those at the same time. So
that's an interesting point, Jim. What you're describing here, the vibrancy then is coming from movement of all five of those and an integration of all five of those, as opposed to perhaps in the old model on a very siloed approach of optimizing one. So, for example, not just optimizing our team work, it's really looking at the whole element of the team in the context of the other five elements. Is that sort of where you're going?
Exactly. Yeah, what we're finding is if you say that we can get there through just our own creative individual effort and then the rest will happen, which is neoliberal economics, is that it just doesn't happen that way. You don't get to the higher harmonic vibrancy of all five relationships by pushing on one alone. Or, as you gave the example, working if the collective is healthy, then the individual will be healthy, and therefore will achieve harmonic vibrancy. And that's just not what we're seeing when we look out into the world. They're paying attention to something else, and in that pathway of paying attention to the higher harmonic vibrancy, the higher relationship to all of these different pieces comes together at the same time.
And so you're using the word ecosonomics here as well. Harmonic vibrancy is this collection of five elements and moving and addressing those in some harmony. My guess is, just as an outside view, I don't know much about ecosonomics, but the normal view of nature or the normal view of economics is not to include nature. And that you're including that here.
Right, or Spirit, or, and it turns out most of the economic forms, you know, very grossly overstating, but most of the economic forms, whether it's a collectivist, a pluralist, an individualist, a naturist, or a spiritualist, theocratic approach to economics, they all tend to say, if you just pay attention to this one relationship first, then everything else will happen and we'll achieve harmonic vibrancy. And we're discovering that that's just not what's happening.
So there's relationships among all five, and there's agreements about all five. Could you have some examples about what this might even look like for our listeners to give a sense that they might be able to relate to?
Absolutely. So I work very closely for the last almost 7 years with in a company that some of our listeners will know, Thorlo, make high-end athletic socks or sports-specific socks. And in our work, in that community, we're really paying attention to what is the greater relationship to our work. We happen to call that brand stewardship there, but it's a stewardship of all of these relationships. And as we're doing that, each individual finds their stronger connection. So everybody will tell you, he said, well, when you come here, there's something special about being here because I'm more of who I am because I'm here. And our process is support everybody else getting to do that. And what we all do is really clear how we make unique contributions out of our gifts to our group and to what we're trying to do in producing, you know, lots of socks that are sold in stores all over the world. So it's very practical and tangible. What starts to shift is how you do that work. And the listening in the group for, you know, are the best opinions coming forward? Is everybody really stepping into their unique gifts for what they can contribute into this conversation, into this strategy, and how we're thinking about it? And that has had a lot of implications for, you know, the kinds of structures and processes in the company itself, because we're always listening for the collective thing and how the individuals are making the deepest contribution they can to that, and listening for that with each other in relationship to, you know, what's manifesting now, which is more that nature axis, and then what's possible. So really working all these dimensions at once, which we say in most businesses we're doing, but we really don't ask for everybody. You know, there isn't a state of inquiry where we're really asking for everybody else's opinion. And we're not always listening for, are you bringing the most of who you can bring in? Are you really stepping in, and can I support you in doing that? And am I bringing the most and being responsible for, you know, this stewardship? You know, what in you isn't showing up because of who I'm not being? So, and it sounds like an esoteric group maybe, or this nice conference kind of group, but this is what's living on the ground as we're, you know, producing millions of socks a year.
Interesting, Jim. And I know we have about a minute left, maybe a little bit more here. And I'm wondering, that's a business and a corporate kind of a context there with Thorlo. Is this applicable in other groups experimenting with this on a more small group basis, informal groups, formal groups, other realms that you've been getting research on?
Absolutely. We've discovered very briefly, you know, places from like my kids' school and classrooms where teachers are able to do this on a very sustainable basis, to communities where it shows up, to people saying, you know what, I love going to that friend's house or to my mother's house because there's something always magical about being there. And I think everybody that we've talked to has that experience of, I love going to this place or to that person's environment because there's just something really special about it. I don't know what it is, but more of me shows up there. And there are places that I go that it really just feels pretty ick, and I need to medicate myself afterwards. And so I think that's what we're starting to see, is it shows up in all kinds of different communities, from very small to very large.
Small to large, corporate and distinct and structured, probably less structured in some ways. But what I'm hearing at the same time, Jim, is there's an energy and a dynamism. The word vibrancy that you're using, and I'm interested in really just sort of the feel and sense and flow of that, but there's a vibrancy has a sense of the dynamic. And I pointed to the tsunami that we were talking about early on in the show. I mean, there's inherent dynamic and inherent potential and power. I'm hearing that, that's coming out of these five elements that brings the sense of harmonic at play here.
Absolutely. What people tell us is, you know, it's really easy, and I would ask your listeners to reflect from their own experience. There are places that you go every day and every week, you say, I have to really almost medicate myself, dumb myself down or something because I was there. But there are other places where I'm stronger because I was there.
Right on. I think that's there are places, there's a big tangible and an intangible difference. We know it. We feel it in our belly. We feel it in our heart. We know in our minds as we are able to conceive and to think and engage ourselves. And I hear the music in my ears, but it's that dynamism we want to continue to reflect upon, talk about, probably bring some more examples to the table, and link leadership to this equation as we have been talking about specifically on Zoomed Leadership. Let's take a break. Come back with Jim in just a minute. Thanks.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Zoomed Leadership is sponsored in part by Cosmos Journal, the journal for world citizens creating the new civilization. More than just a publication, Cosmos is committed to informing, inspiring, and engaging the world in the transition to an emerging, sustainable, just, and compassionate global culture and civilization that works for all. For over 10 years, Cosmos has been a leading voice that tracks the deep systemic transformations already occurring at the margins of society as our institutions prove unable to serve the needs of the times. Published twice a year in print and digital, Cosmos includes leading-edge articles from social change leaders on the global commons, people power, global governance, new economics, collective intelligence, and cultivating the self. The impact of these paradigm-changing ideas is enhanced through stunning visuals and photographic stories that motivate to action. Start exploring Cosmos Journal and continue opening your perspectives about leadership and the emerging great transition at cosmosjournal.org. Join the Cosmos Leaders of Change and make a difference today.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for The Game Plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to The Game Plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Zoomed Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. For more information about John and our program, visit avastoneconsulting.com. That's A-V-A-S-T-O-N-E consulting.com. Now, back to Zoomed Leadership.
Okay, back again today. Jim Ritchie Dunham, our guest, President, Institute of Strategic Clarity. Our focus is harmonic vibrancy. It is also ecosynomics, a new way to look at our agreements in light of an economic view, partially as our perspective on this. Jim, there's an awful lot of places we can go here, but I'm wondering how we might bridge back just for a minute into what you're talking about and the agreements and the five elements, and describe a little bit more about the gaps that this is filling from our more normal conventional orientation to groups and organizations and getting work done.
Thanks, John. Sure. I think if we started to observe as we reflect for ourselves and in being in conversation with people in lots of different kinds of communities and business, civil society, government, in different countries, is what percentage of your experience is in low harmonic vibrancy, as an example, where you say, you know what, there's nothing of me that shows up here, I just have to go, do my job, Just tell me what to do. There isn't really any other human being. We're just all here to do our work. You know, there are the rules. This is just how things are. And there's nothing really, no great possibility show up. You know, this is just what we got to do. And, you know, where do we experience that? And how much of our life do we experience that? Versus where we say, you know what? I can stand up here as a human and see you standing up. And we're competitive and we're able to do it. And we're creative on our own. And we can start to see the relationships of different parts of what we're doing together. And as we started to look at the difference in those first two groups versus the ones we were describing, where you say, all of me is starting to show up here, and so is it all of you. And the uniqueness of what we can all do collaboratively, and there's just light shining all over the place and what's really flowing through nature and spirit and all of us. The difference in those three, what we're finding is that, and this is what Ecosynomics is starting to point at, is that most of the systems that are determining the agreements that we have in those first two examples, a very low harmonic vibrancy and medium harmonic vibrancy, suggest two things. And the first thing is, and you look at the definition of their field and their inquiry, and they say we start with scarcity. So economics, its definition is allocation of scarce resources. It starts with scarcity. And the second thing is, as we said a few minutes ago, it leads with one or two of the relationships we talked about. And it says, if you do this, then eventually you'll achieve harmonic vibrancy. So if you just focus on yourself and being creative, then you'll get to harmonic vibrancy. If you just focus on the group, then eventually you'll get to harmonic vibrancy. So it's that suggestion from most of these other frameworks of start with scarcity and lead with one of these relationships and eventually get to harmonic vibrancy. And what we're finding is the groups that are based on those agreements are the ones that are describing the low to medium harmonic vibrancy experience, no matter how hard they work. Ecosynomics is suggesting from this other tier, the medium to high harmonic vibrancy experiences that we're finding, that you have to start with abundance. And it's not abundance that there's more than enough and throw away and waste. Rather, there's abundance based on how we're in relationship with it. So there is enough water for everybody on this planet if we are in relationship to it in a way that makes it important to get clean water to everybody, as an example. So Ecosynomics suggests starting with the abundance, not scarcity, and leading with harmonic vibrancy, which will help us achieve higher levels of all five of these relationships, self, other, group, spirit, and nature. And you know, again, this isn't from theory. This is from what we're discovering that's happening out there in practice.
So I want to really reinforce that. What I'm hearing is the relationship, scarcity and a low harmonic and a high harmonic and abundance. And the orientation, as you're describing through Ecosynomics, and the orientation through these agreements, and where we might even point next in terms of the leadership, is about abundance and how we're dealing with life on Earth in some areas where there are fewer resources and some areas where people have less. But we're talking about how do we engage in this world in an abundance and an orientation to abundance as opposed to beginning with scarcity. That, Jim, is a big paradigm shift.
That is a huge paradigm shift, and it's one that we're finding that even in leadership that's unconsciously aware of what it's doing, that those are the principles that they're living from.
Interesting. So let's make that bridge then about leadership and get leadership connected to this harmonic vibrancy, leadership connected to this abundance. Can you say some more about what is it that leadership is actually doing? How are they engaging? How are they being in relation to this dynamic?
Right. Well, here there's a deeper, more esoteric probably question or developmental question, and we're open to many different perspectives on this, but what we're finding, the data is showing that there are people out there that show up in small groups, communities, individuals who have a light that they can shine, and they just sort of know how to do things. And I think this is the experience that all of us have had, and your listeners, there are just places and people you go see and hang out with that something magical happens around these people, whether we can describe it or not. What we're discovering through our work and our research is that a lot of times these people describe themselves as they become more aware of their leadership and these kinds of principles. Is one of our colleagues calls himself, said, you know, I've been unconsciously competent my whole life. I didn't know that I knew how to do this. I thought I was making socks, or I thought I was running a community health center, or I thought I had a toy store in Moscow. I didn't know that what I knew how to do was to do something else. But it's their inquiry into how do I sustain this and how do I grow this. And that's where the unconscious competence of an individual or a small group starts to run into barriers, because they start looking for others to explain what they're doing and knowing, and they're running into all kinds of difficulties.
Well, they're running into the old paradigm that's not explaining it in concrete terms about what they're actually doing.
Exactly. So they're running into, exactly, so they start to look outwardly and they say, No, that's not what I'm doing. And so they start to find different answers. And that's why it's not surprising that they end up around the Integral Community, the Society for Organizational Learning, different spiritual pathways. There are places that people start to show up because they're looking for other people that are asking these kinds of questions. So what we're starting to find is that leadership, as they become more consciously competent, then are able to step into and invite others into this awareness of what is it that we're actually doing here and what are the kinds of processes that can emerge and evolve so that we can more explicitly invite greater amounts of our community into this kind of practice in very practical ways.
Well, so, and I'm pretty sure it's not easy for us to put into, this is exactly what they're doing, but maybe you can describe what is it leadership is doing and why does it matter in relationship to this harmonic vibrancy?
Right. I think one of the sort of a very simple distinction that we've now found has emerged in quite a few different places. So I always love when you start to discover that completely different groups and different geographies, languages, cultures are coming up with the same idea. And one is that we'll say is this difference between I'm a manager, I'm managing a machine or a group of people, or really thinking of it as a machine, to I'm kind of leading and there are individuals who are following me, to a hosting model, the thinking of, well, what I'm doing is hosting a bunch of other folks coming together. And what we're discovering in these even unconsciously competent communities that are stepping towards greater conscious competence is a term that we're calling co-hosting. And there's a recognition that I am a light that can bring a certain awareness to what we're doing here in this community and my leadership, but our leadership is also your leadership and your stewardship. So we're hearing terms like co-stewardship, co-hosting, to acknowledge that I'm doing this, my intention is bringing this, but so is the intention of others. So how do we step into that both and space of I am hosting this and you are hosting this, and it's hosting, not leading or managing. And so it really is therefore making the inquiry with others and the exploration of everybody, how do we collaborate to achieve something that we didn't think was possible from a management or leadership perspective, because we now acknowledge that what we're actually doing is co-hosting.
So we're from this co-hosting perspective, Jim, and on Zoomed we talk about, and the ensemble, as we've mentioned, bring forward the language of a present-centeredness and a present-centered orientation, a present-centered evolutionary kind of leadership. How does that have bearing? Does that language work for you out of the research?
It does, because I think what we're discovering, whether people are aware of it or not, and that's the really exciting part to me, John, is when you start, again, to start to discover that there's this common thread and uniqueness that shows up. But people are, what we're describing with the present-centered evolutionary leadership are the skills that are present, whether people are conscious of it or not. And it becomes fairly obvious afterwards to say, well, if one is going to be able to sustainably evolve and grow a community of people who are stepping into co-hosting together, then there must be this ability to be present now with yourself and with others and with the group and nature and spirit. There must be an ability to evolve and to step further into all of that.
And so you're using the language, as I hear the music arising here, signaling a break before our last segment, but you're talking about these people being lights and being a light of hosting to bring others together. And I think that in many respects is what we've been describing about the nature of presence. It is that dynamic underlying force, that dynamic movement, that flow, that freedom I described in an earlier show about the flow of our own being and how that comes into form, manifests in our leadership and hosts and brings a light to ignite the lights of others. That's what we want to continue as we come back and also describe in our last segment how you can participate in our research directly to help us get a better sense of the light, the elements of ecosynomics, the elements of harmonic vibrancy, how we begin to frame this, bring it alive even more fully. Come back, take a break, last segment in just a moment. Thanks.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
Tune in every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. On the show, Aldana and some of today's top business professionals will discuss some of today's most pressing business issues that hold you, the business owner, back. Aldana will also give you 21 ways to grow with her list of growth strategies. Grow smart, grow profit, and grow your business with Aldana Ambler and The Growth Strategist every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business.
You're listening to Zoomed Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. For more information about John and our program, visit avastoneconsulting.com. That's A-V-A-S-T-O-N-E consulting.com. Now, back to Zoomed Leadership.
Okay, back today, last segment, harmonic vibrancy leadership, present-centered leadership, the nature of the intersection with vibrancy, with ecosonomics, a new paradigm, how we bring this together. Jim, before we get into the research, maybe we can talk about this, because I opened up. I think that, and as we've talked about, there is this dynamic, seems to me, force. There is this rising tide across the world. But say some more first about the purpose of this and how we've engaged in this, the importance of the research. What is it that we're involved in and why?
Excellent, John. We have a very specific and belief that it's possible for every human being that's born on this planet deserves the right to be able to experience greater harmonic vibrancy in their life. That is a belief system that we have, and also the belief system that, you know, we're not judging where people come in and out of this life and the kinds of problems that they'll have to face. But we are saying that there are certain kinds of agreements that exist in these different systems that very much limit the capacity for people to experience greater harmonic vibrancy. And we believe that the agreements and leadership in those systems heavily influence the possibilities for people to be able to experience this greater harmonic vibrancy. So what we're looking for is to support the shift and agreement so that everybody can experience greater harmonic vibrancy. Our research agenda is very simple. We want to first describe, is there a broader phenomena going on out there? We have two different surveys, a very short version and a longer version. We're online, and people can go to either the Global Transforming Ensemble website. I'm just putting Global Transforming Ensemble, or the Institute for Strategic Clarity website, and go to the survey. And from there, we're starting to get a description of how broad of a phenomena is this around the world from the different kinds of or levels of vibrancy. And we're also doing assessments within organizations, deeper multi-day assessments to discover what is it that we're learning across, in general, across these kinds of high harmonic vibrancy communities, as well as, in particular, what are some of the innovations that they've come up with. And here, this is where the ecosonomics comes in, because we need a theory to be able to say what is it that distinguishes high harmonic vibrancy communities or groups from low, and, you know, how do we describe them. So that's sort of where the theory comes in.
But I think it's also important to recognize here and to speak to the fact, Jim, that there is research, there is preliminary data. I've started to point to it last week, but this is not like we're just beginning this. The early evidence is suggesting that there is this movement going on in the world. Is that not true?
That is absolutely true, John. We've already got 250 surveys descriptions of 250 different communities around the world from, again, communities, businesses, government, civil society, families, sports teams, churches, 19 different countries. I'm describing in the phenomena, and people can visit and see this on both of those websites I just mentioned, the data, and it shows very clearly that there is a continuum of experience that people have from very high to very low harmonic vibrancy, and that when all of these relationships show up to support the vibrancy, they're all there together, or, you know, they're all weak together.
So I think it's also important to suggest to all of our listeners that what we're really asking you to do, if you're interested and want to really participate in this, is to engage in taking one of a couple of surveys. There's a short form and a long form, but it doesn't take any knowledge. It doesn't take a recognition of all of what we're talking about on the show today in terms of what we're pointing at with vibrancy. You're going to be responding to questions in particular about a group that you're related to and have agreements with, whatever that group might be. Maybe you can speak a little bit more about that, Jim, just to give a people sense to people about it, because I think it won't take a lot of time, but it can be ultimately valuable to source this vibrancy further and to perpetrate and pervade it in the world.
Absolutely, John. So what we're asking people to do in this 12-minute survey, the long form, is to answer a series of questions on the experience of the harmonic vibrancy or the well-being of the group, their experience of leadership and the kinds of qualities that the leadership brings to the group, and then their experience of themselves, others, the group, nature, and spirit of this group. And what we're hearing back from the field with dozens of people of the 250 that have taken the survey so far is that it's really quite instructive and interesting and sometimes even transformational to ask these questions for your own experience of a group. And we invite people to do this for as many different groups as they want. And we invite people to invite their own groups to have everybody in the group do that. And we've done that now in four different communities where everybody in the group described their experience. And we're very glad to send those results to people and say, you know, these are the different perspectives that showed up in your own group about the experience of that group.
And so the research is providing more understanding about what's going on and how those listeners can get involved in it, can benefit by it as well. The results will be available to them. But there's more in terms of results. What we're actually putting together is a support means and system, whether it be through workshops where you can begin to even understand more about this on a more widespread basis. Also, actually, we're pointing to the nature of what we're calling a global commons, a web-based site where you're able to come in to have open access, free and clear use and knowledge and understanding about what's being developed to bring it to your group. All that's being put together over time, Jim, but this research is so central to the early stages of this, is it not?
It absolutely is, and we invite very much everybody to participate come to the blogs, to the sites, to the tweets, and see what's happening, because what we believe in the end is this commons that you were describing is where people who say, I experience this greater harmonic vibrancy, and we as a community are struggling with how to grow or to evolve or to sustain ourselves, and would love to be in conversation with and community with other people that are asking similar kinds of questions because of where we are in our own stage of development and vibrancy. And this is what we're trying to provide as a space where people can come together, be connected, ask those questions of each other, because I think that really is actually the higher harmonic vibrancy gesture isn't one of an expert telling me the answer. I really need to be in dialogue and inquiry with others that are asking similar questions. And this is because we're starting to find them and identify them and connect them, a place where people can come to get that kind of support with each other.
I think you just hit a great point here. This, what we're not trying to do is put together an expert model, a new answer for the world. We're actually providing a light of hosting ourselves to engage people, to co-develop, co-evolve, co-create, but make this tangible, to name it and bring it to life, and to bring the nature of consciousness and our potentiality more fully into our lives and into our organizations, into our groups, into the world as a whole. It feels like a rich, rich opportunity here.
It does, and we're very excited, and groups are already starting to form around this kind of conversation. We've got two meeting at the end of this March and early April in Mexico City and Querétaro, and already, you know, so folks are starting to come together and say, I'm asking these kinds of questions, and I'd love to be in community with others that are asking similar kinds of questions.
Wonderful, Jim. Wonderful. And more opportunities will become available on the site. I think we're getting both your site, Institute for Strategic Clarity, and the Global Transforming Ensemble just getting really more in motion, but information, context, involvement, opportunities will become more forthcoming. Maybe as we're getting we're just down here to the final minute or so here, Jim, or minute and a half here, maybe final thoughts, suggestions, hopes that you have for where this might go and the nature of where we are in the world with this.
It's very exciting, John, that if we were to think that we knew of one group and we could change and shift the agreements that everybody on the planet experiences, then it wouldn't happen. What I believe is that all your listeners and the communities that they know and hundreds of thousands of communities around the world are already discovering how to do this. And what we want to do is name it so that they can connect and we can see it more broadly and understand the phenomena, what's arising in general and in specific, the innovations, so that we can accelerate this evolution of consciousness and this kind of leadership that's emerging on the planet.
Fabulous. Well put, Jim. And just great appreciation for spending the time joining us on Zoom today, getting this going. Appreciate that. I look forward to continuing conversation as we have shows on the results and where this goes. But folks, this is about it for this week. Bring our best thoughts, bring our hopes, open our hearts to those in Japan, those in the Middle East. Freedom is arising. Recovery is in our midst. Leadership is needed everywhere. And as we love to say here, we are bringing harmonic vibrancy and presence-centeredness to the leadership, to the nature of our evolution in the world. It is an era of extraordinary change. We are all part of it. That's what our conversation is about. Have a great week, Jim. Again, wonderful to have you on. Till next time, this is Zoomed Out here. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, John. Thank you, community. Goodbye.
Thank you again for listening to Zoomed Leadership with host John Schmidt. Please be sure to join us again next Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. And have a terrific week.
Voice America has partnered with the Kidstar Network to expand their reach through Voice America Kids. Voice America Kids will feature talk radio for kids by kids.